Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. Happy Sunday. What's up?
Happy Sunday to you too, Barbara. Welcome to episode 125 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 18th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, it's all about listening. And we're going to learn about the Spectrum shampoo system from Chris Christensen and what to do when you underprice a new client. So you can join our discussion by finding us at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, and pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner and our donation button, which is where you tip your hosts, at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share it with all your grooming buddies and support our sponsors. And man, have we been getting shared. Woo! What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. All right, Barbara, what's new with you?
Well, I had a really wonderful day on Monday because Lisa Leedy came to Tucson.
Oh, you lucky dog.
Yeah, so I actually got to attend a clinic, and I got a certificate. You know, I've been giving out certificates for the last 10 years, but I haven't got one, you know? So I was able to take a whole day off and go be with Lisa and the Tucson groomers. And I took my little Bisham Bell, and she was so good. She stood on the grooming table for 3 hours while somebody whittled away at her. And she looks really cute. It was just really a nice day. Oh, hey, by the way, Lisa told us something that I've had on my mind, and she affirmed it. And that's that the Lisa Leedy Miracle Ear stuff, it's also good for hot spots and wounds and, you know, and other skin healing, localized skin things, you know. And I had a feeling that that was true because of the ingredients, and she affirmed that it really is a multi-use product. So just another reason to have a bottle of Lisa Leedy Miracle Ear stuff. And I used her finishing spray and really liked it, and I've got some coming to test out. We'll give it a good trial. But it was a good day, and it's just like so important to hang out and have some kind of connection with your local groomers. So you had connection with your local groomers this last week, right?
I sure did, and probably for the first time ever, we had sun. We had gorgeous sunshine for our mobile grooming roundup, the spring fling. We had, I want to say there were 18 rigs.
Whoa, neat. Yep.
And partners and friends, and Denise came from Macer's Grooming School, and it was her birthday. So we had cake for her birthday. We had lots of finger foods. We got to look at everybody's vans. We compiled a new list, which is one of the most important things we do every meet, is that we compile a list of everybody's areas, what they do, who they're taking, and then we print that out and share it with everybody so that we can all, even though we're all on Facebook and we can all network that way, we all get a paper copy of everybody's phone number in the area and where they work, and so that we can refer to each other. The food selection was very healthy. I was quite disappointed that it was almost completely lacking in the candy and dessert area, which was a big disappointment to me since I don't eat all of that healthy stuff. But we got a bunch of healthy groomers around here. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Or maybe people think they're supposed to be, so they cook up a healthy dish.
I'm going to make that much more clear next time. But it was great. We had so much fun. We also had Michael from Cascade Grooming Supplies, cggroomingsupplies.com. Great. And he brought his truck full of stuff and was able to fulfill a lot of orders for some of the South End groomers and some little stuff. So you didn't have to drive out all the way out to where I live, which is where the warehouse is, to get your stuff. He had it all with him. And we also had Groomer's Best Friend Sharpening with us as well. And he sells shears. So he was there sharpening blades and shears. And he had a nice selection of shears to offer as well. And Pam came all the way down from way up north, and people came all the way north from way down south. And it was just, it was a magical day. We had so much fun. I can't say enough about what a great group of groomers we have. So that was pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah. Also, I met the Pomsky.
Pomsky.
Yeah. The Pomeranian Husky.
Husky.
Mix. And I did her first bath. I'm happy to say that when I got her wet, she's fairly fine boned under there. So I don't think she's going to grow a ton more. I mean, she'll grow a little bit more, but I don't think she's going to be a husky sized Pomeranian. I think she's very much a Pomeranian sized husky.
Husky.
And oh boy, is she a husky. She howled through the entire bath as if I was putting acid on her delicate little puppy body. And then she screamed through the drying, and she had diarrhea at the very end. But I must say, she was screaming and crying and pooping and eating liver snacks on the other side. So it was just that she's a little dramatic. She loves her Pomeranian sister. That's all going well. They've got her trained to the jingle bells on the door. So that's, you know, we've got Figgy trained that way. So that's very helpful. So puppy life over there is very interesting. And it was quite a noisy groom. And I fear that will continue. But nice dog, not going to be huge. I can suffer through this.
All right, good, good. Well, that's just a little bit of fears reduced. Yeah.
Yeah. Phew. So how is the next webinar coming?
Well, the next webinar is coming along, and I just had some technical difficulties getting it actually up online. And, you know, I'm angry at GoDaddy, my shopping cart site, because every time I would start to type in the description of the webinar, I'd turn away to do something with a dog and turn back, and all my typing had just vanished. So three times I named it, I described it, and I lost it. And so then I lost it. F you. F you, GoDaddy. You know, and I just bailed out and said, well, I'll try another day. So I'm going to try again today, get it up by tonight. The exciting thing is that I'm going to find some handouts to download along with this webinar that's going to be kind of updated material since I wrote the book. Anybody that's bought the book might want to engage in the webinar, because it'll really help you understand the book, you know. And we're not going to just go through the book. We're going to, you know, we're going to get to some of the burning questions about shampoos and stuff.
This is going to be really fun. And I think that we have the echo chamber problem solved with Barbara's new headphones. Thank you to the Amazon purchases for that. So that's pretty cool. Another thing is, it will take me a little bit of time to figure out how to deal with the echo, because when Barbara and I record on YouTube, it's immediate. There is almost no delay on it. But when we do the webinar, there is a considerable amount of delay from when I speak to when Barbara hears it, which makes a little bit of a strange interaction. So for the most part, I will be mostly just a picture up in the corner and tech support, but I will get to chime in, but I'll try to do it only when Barbara asks, so we don't end up talking over each other. So that's how I'm going to solve that as the technical support person. Since I can't figure another way to solve it, that's how we're going to solve that. So that.
But I like it when you interact. you know.
I know.
And I count on you to, because when people ask a question, it just flashes briefly in type across the top of my screen. And if I'm looking at the PowerPoint, I miss the question. And I need you to bring that to my attention and say, you know, like, Melody asks, da-da-da.
So I'm technical support and chat room monitor.
And we're going to try to engage in a little bit more interaction this time because, you know, amazingly enough, they give me an evaluation form to evaluate my webinar, and on participation, my evaluation is very low. So we're going to try to encourage a little bit more participation. We're dividing shampoos and conditioners into two separate presentations so that I won't get overwhelmed with material to spit out. We're going to really focus on answering some questions that you have. All right.
This is cool. I love this format. I'm excited to be part of it. It's very exciting to me. It's cool. Thanks, Barbara, for doing that. So that webinar is July 2nd at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And as soon as she gets it up, it will be at www.shop.bieber.biz. Don't forget to buy something else while you're there and help support our lovely Barbara. Let's take a moment to hear from Best Shop. And then we're going to come back and talk about listening skills. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shop's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshoppet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Since I treat the Groom Pod as my own personal classroom, and next week we have a very exciting interview coming up, I have been studying for the last couple weeks on interview skills and tactics and ways to be a better interviewer, and I've been listening with a critical ear to my previous interviews, and what I need to work on for me, this is once again for my own personal use, but I know everybody can get some benefit out of it because you have such knowledge in this area, is that when I'm conducting an interview with someone that I don't really know, like with you, it's really easy. It's not really an interview. It's just us talking. But when I have a scripted interview, an interview where I have questions that I want to follow and at least a train of thought that I want to follow, I almost disengage when the person is answering my question because I've already advanced to the next question in my brain. But what I need to work on is being able to focus in and listen to the answer and follow through with a question that actually applies to what they just said instead of railroading on to the next question. So Barbara, right. Can you help me with my listening skills?
Well, you just need to breathe and relax and shut that down because that's not effective listening. That's for you. You're serving yourself. You're not really serving the person that you're interacting with when you're jumping ahead. I had for some time, I had a really great assistant who I trained to groom, and she was very bright and very verbal, and she would finish my sentences. You know, and that's a really good example. I mean, and that's what we all do. We don't always say it out loud like she would, but we always hear the first part of what the person is saying, and we flesh it out, and we jump on, we jump to the end. Oh, she said that, you know, like, so it's very important to just kind of slow down, especially when you're talking to customers, because what you want to do is to bring it out of them. And if you're just racing on to the next question in your mind, you're not giving them any cues as to what they might expand or what they might clarify. You know, it's an important thing to work on.
And, so in your book, you use a term like put your mind on a leash, like your mind is a puppy.
Exactly. Your mind is a puppy. Your mind is a puppy. It's a wild little, you know, unleashed, broken puppy that's just jumping around.
Especially my mind. I'm really pinballing through the room. You could be talking to me and I might actually be thinking about what car parts we ordered yesterday because you're not speaking quick enough for my brain. So I think that that's why I wanted to talk about this so much, is because that skill, the ability to rein it in, is something that I really need to practice.
So practice is a key thing. You know, communication skills don't just come with birth to the human race. You know, communication skills need to be practiced, and new modes of interacting need to be practiced. And at first, it can seem real artificial. One of the key elements of effective listening is to reflect back to the speaker what you heard her say. You know, like, and that can seem really artificial. And you don't want to just repeat the person's words. You want to summarize it in a way that shows that you got it.
Or you didn't.
And it, but that gives the other person a chance to say, no, that's not what I was saying.
If you missed that step, then you've missed a big part of the communication with your client that's so necessary to provide the service they're looking for.
Right.
So repeating back, that's a really important part of it. And, you know, even if it's forced, if you make up a little script in your head that ties everything up together. See, now this is where I go into, as you're telling me you want your dog back at 2 o'clock and an inch and a half of hair left on it. And I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to say this back without actually listening to what's going on? So that's where I need to really rein it in and focus and be cautious as to not make a judgment about what they're saying before they've even said what they're going to say. Like you said, don't finish their sentence. Let them finish their sentence.
Yeah. So I had a new client yesterday, and I got a couple of examples of things from this new client. And it's interesting because it was a doodle, but it's not my usual kind of a doodle. I usually get doodles by word of mouth of other doodles who want a little more hair left on. But this was a doodle customer that just moved to Tucson, and she's got a large, very jet black doodle with a thick coat, and she just wanted it short. I got it from the phone call that this was more of what I call a barbering job than a styling job. And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to succeed with this, because I almost always try to twist it into some kind of styling thing. I didn't do that this day. So I listened to her when she brought the dog in. Dog was very timid. She started describing what she wanted. I want it short. I need a lot taken off the muzzle because she gets food and stuff in there. And I this and that. And I said, okay, what I'm hearing you say is that practicality rules. And
she said, that's a great way to put that.
Yeah. And she said, absolutely. You know, so she told me that I got it. And, you know, like, that was a great little exchange, because just by my saying that, I summed it all up and I threw it back at her. And she said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she was confident. She had communicated that to me, you know, and, you know, like, and she said, just as short as you want to go, you know. So I didn't start thinking, well, I'll use a this blade or I'll use a that comb. No, I just left that. Shut up, Barbara. You know, shut my mind down. I'm just listening to what you said. She doesn't care what blade I use. You know, I don't need to go there until I get the dog on the table. So, you know, like, so I just shut off that other little conversation with myself. And I just listened to her and I just summarized it succinctly, gave it back to her. She affirmed that was what we were doing. And off she went, you know.
I not only have to shut off the inside voice, I have to shut off the outside voice because I know everybody so personally and I have such adventures in my world that I love to tell everybody about it. And sometimes I forget that the point of the visit is to get the dog groomed. And I tell a story of how I had a great adventure and we chat about what's going on with their husband. And then I get out into the trailer with the dog and I go, oh crap, I forgot to ask what kind of haircut they want. So yeah, there's another issue. I have to shut my mouth and not chat so much during that important part of the conversation where the information is being passed over to you.
Yeah. This is a challenge for you, Susie, because you are so spontaneous and so eruptive and, you know.
Yes,
and
it is.
And you know, you've just got to bring it back to that you are serving the client, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, get that stuff handled. And, you know, the other thing that we tend to do sometimes is we tend to go off on a long thing that's educational for the client.
A little tangent
of education. And that can be kind of distracting for them. And those educational conversations don't work unless the client is willing to receive the information. You can say, can I talk to you a little bit about how to brush out? Instead of just going into, here's some instructions or here's how I brush out or whatever, you know, like, do you have a minute to hear me about da-da-da?
Right. Oftentimes, or, you know, people are in an awful lot of a hurry and you have to pay attention to that.
Well, they're in a hurry or they may not just be in a mood to receive, you know, so you want to ask, you want to inquire if they're in the mood to hear something else or, you know, like, do you have a minute to hear me talk about such and such, or can I give you my so-and-so lecture? You know, you can make a joke out of it. Can I give you my so-and-so lecture? I do that sometimes. But you need to, before you start lecturing the client, you need to be sure that they're in the classroom and they're not halfway down the road already. Because if they're halfway, it's just a waste of both of your time.
Yeah, oftentimes shiny objects will distract me quite a bit. When I used to sit in class, I was very foolish. I took a philosophy class at 8 a.m. in college.
Oh, that was dumb.
Oh, it was dumb. And it was from a Jesuit priest. So it was extra boring, extra thick. So I would sit in class at about, I know my attention span is exactly 10 minutes because at about 11 minutes, I would look at the clock for the first time. And then I would start to drift out the window and I would be listening, but I'd be looking out the window. I even do it here sometimes. Something will catch my eye out of the corner and I'll look up at the TV or something. I have a distraction problem. I am easily distracted. I am distracted by shiny objects wiggling in field of view just outside of what I'm doing. So there's another issue there for me. I need to concentrate and focus on the person who's doing the talking. I need to do that, especially when I'm doing an interview, but we all need to do it when we're receiving or giving the dogs back and or dealing with our employees or coworkers.
Right.
oftentimes we have to really listen carefully to find the actual meaning in what someone is saying. They may not be saying they're in a hurry. They may disguise that they're in a hurry, but you need to be sensitive and listening enough to pick up that they're in a hurry. Any tips on that?
It's also true that they may have something of concern on their mind that they don't spill right away. You know, and until you indicate that you're listening and that you're hearing them, they're not going to tell you the real little concern. You know, maybe the real little concern is that he ran into the house and hid in the closet for 3 hours after the grooming. You know, they're not going to just tell you that, you know. But if you hear them out enough, they might say, oh, and also, and there comes the real thing, you know. So you need to give clues. You don't have to drag it out, you know, even just what you're doing right now to me, nodding your head a little bit. You know, when I do the listening thing in a live seminar, I have the whole room. I say, go like this, show me, now do it a little bit less, and now put a pleasant expression on your face, because, you know.
Yeah, I have to be careful, you know, not to bobble around.
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to put a big grin on your face, because then that's not consistent maybe with what they're telling you. You know, you need to have a serious but pleasant expression on your face. You'd be surprised. People are using all of these cues to figure out what they can say and can't say. And, you know, and you have to try to be a very neutral, receptive.
Do you ever watch? You probably don't, because okay, you probably don't watch.
I found something on the web for his, but pleasant expression on your face. You big surprised people. Are you?
Siri is listening to me, and
and that's what that is.
Siri is listening to me and finding things on the web that have to do with serious expression.
How funny is that? Oh no! Wow.
I have a little love affair with Siri, because my Siri is male with an Australian accent, and it's just,
yeah, like, I heard that. Yeah. Very nice. Oh my gosh.
But he was trying to join in.
Oh, and now I completely forgot what we were talking about.
Oh, I don't know.
Here's another thing that I'm not good at, but of course being over the internet helps me with this, but listen with your eyes and with your ears and with your, really, with your whole body. You have to listen. You were saying about clues. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Do you ever watch Below Deck, the show?
No,
Below Deck? Okay.
I've seen it.
Well, a phrase became popular on the internet from Below Deck, and it's RBF, resting bitch face. When you're listening, you don't want to listen with, if you have a resting bitch face. I have resting giggle face. I'm okay with that. Resting bitch face, not so good. So be conscious of what your face looks like when you're listening, because the people do respond to that. I mean, my husband has some pain issues, and if he's in pain, it distracts the person he's talking to. You can
right.
see that physically they know that something's going on with him because of his facial expressions or body language or whatever. So be aware of that. And I'm very bad at looking people in the eyes. I pretty much look over their right shoulder, I think is the spot that I look at. I gaze off into the distance. I pretend I'm reading lines over their shoulder. Whatever it is, I'm not good with eye contact. But I know that eye contact helps when you're listening, right?
Yeah, but just the right amount, because you can overdo the eye contact and make someone really uncomfortable. And different people are comfortable with different amounts of eye contact. So you have, there again, you have to kind of let the other person dictate how much that doodle. I realized when I got the doodle in the back room that I hadn't had any eye contact with that woman. Well, when she came to pick the dog up, I did. You know, I made sure that before she left that we had some kind of, you know, a good exchange of eye contact, because that's an important in terms of showing that you're listening. there are people, you know, like where I wouldn't have so much eye contact would be like maybe an Asian man.
Yeah, they don't,
you
like
know,
that.
So I would wait to see if they initiated eye contact before I, you know, did that.
Little cultural respect.
Yeah.
I can see that. I personally like to get on the stage, do a little curtsy bow, and then dance my way off to stage right. That's how I like to go out. Not too much eye contact, hand the card, get the check, dance away. That's the way I think about it. So I'm practicing this even as we speak now. I know it doesn't appear that I'm practicing, but I am. I'm practicing for next week's interview with Jody so that I can be a better interview for all of you guys out there who join us each and every week. And I know that becoming a better listener will not only help me there, but it'll help me in life because I'm impatient. I have things to do.
Well, you know, every one of us has room to grow in some aspect of our personality and our character and our interface with others. Everyone, you know, I need to stop dropping the F-bomb so much.
I was going to mention that. I know you guys love the swearing, but when I set up this podcast, I set it up as a clean podcast on iTunes. And I know nobody's going to
mistake!
Nobody's going to go complain about it. But when we let the swears go, I've got to put a disclaimer out there. I don't care about them. I love them. You know, I'm not a big swearer, but I like creative swearing. You know, it works for me. So I was not berating in any way Barbara's dropping of the F-bomb. She is free. She is allowed. It is encouraged. It's behavior that we do every day, you know, in this world. So I'm not going to censor her other than stick the dog bark in over the top of it so that iTunes doesn't get mad.
Fucking A.
Yeah. We All right. Well, I was gonna wrap this up with a little quote that you have in your. Oh, I should mention, Barbara has a book that's called "It's Not Just the Grooming: Communication Skills for Pet Professionals." That's probably available at the website, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I print it on demand. I print it and send it to you.
Oh, good point. So if the item in her shopping cart is back ordered, order it anyway, especially if it's a book. And if it's not something she has or can get, she's going to get back to you and let you know. But as far as the book, she's printing them on order as needed. So just order it up. And I think I let everybody know that was wondering about that. But if you didn't, now you know that. So I'm going to read this little quote that you picked out in the chapter about effective listening. It says, it is by Dr. Larry Nadig. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he is a clinical psychologist who specializes in relationship work. And this is what he says about effective listening. There is a real distinction between merely hearing the words and really listening for the message. When we listen effectively, we understand what the person is thinking and or feeling from the other person's own perspective. It is as if we were standing in the other person's shoes, seeing through his or her eyes and listening through the person's ears. Our own viewpoint may be different and we may not necessarily agree with the person, but as we listen, we understand from the other's perspective. To listen effectively, we must be actively involved in the communication process and not just listening passively. Words to live by, Barbara.
Yeah, and you know, we need to bring that needs to be brought into our political discourse, you know.
And Facebook in general.
Yeah, if more people really listened and just stopped popping off, you know, it would be helpful. But anyway, I digress.
Yes. Well, if you're interested in getting that book, which I did immediately pull out when I thought about needing to brush up my interview skills, that and the websites, man, there's a lot of stuff out there on interviewing. You can find it at www.shop.bieber.biz. And let's take a moment to hear from South Park Professional Pet Products about their fantastic foam. And we will be back with our definition du jour.
I do want to say that I used the South Park pet foam this week to very successfully remove just kind of nasty eye boogies from a border terrier. It was so nice. I just needed to apply a dab on each side of corner of the eye and use a toothbrush, and brushed and brushed and rinsed and then did it again. And we just got that face cleaner than ever.
That's nice. So is it a no rinse product? I can't remember.
It is a no rinse product, but you can rinse it, you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
You know, so it's but it just did that particular softening and helping to dissolve the buildup problem there. So for little Bandit.
Excellent. Well, we just love those girls from South Park, and here comes their ad, and then we'll be back with our definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
The definition du jour.
I know that you work closely with Chris Christensen for many years now, and I know that you know his product line really well. And we had a question on our Facebook page about the difference between Spectrum 1, 5, and 10 shampoo and conditioner systems that are put out on his by his company. So tell us about the Spectrum shampoo systems.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, and I want to let you know that I had a mind-blowing experience with this subject today.
Get out.
It's a difference, but it wasn't a rabbit hole, but it was a mind-blowing. Wait till you hear this. So I cannot talk about the Spectrum 5. I've got no ingredient information about that product. All I can tell you is that it's been designed to be kind of a skin care for short-haired dogs that have issues. That's all I know. I don't have it. But I do have information about the Spectrum 1 and 10, and I gotta just find my notes. Where I started, actually, was with Chris Christensen Clean Start, because that was kind of their original shampoo, their first one, and it's a very basic shampoo, So I wanted to see what was there and then what followed with that as they developed these more specialized focused shampoos. So Clean Start contains water, ammonium lauryl sulfate, sodium laureth sulfate, cocamide MEA, ammonium xylene sulfonate. Ammonium xylene sulfonate is what's called, we've talked about it before, it's been a DDJ, but it's a hydrotrope which serves to increase the ability of water to dissolve other molecules.
So it helps, does it help to emulsify stuff?
Yeah, it helps to dissolve dirt and stuff like that. And okay. it's actually in all of these three products: ammonium xylene sulfonate, sodium citrate, sodium chloride, citric acid, panthenol. Preserved system is MCIMI. Do I need to say that?
No.
Disodium ETA, and then there's some fragrance. So that's a very basic shampoo with a little panthenol. Okay. Now, Spectrum 1 has sodium laureth sulfate, sodium lauryl sulfate. So those two are kind of turned around. There's not that much difference between ammonium lauryl sulfate and sodium lauryl sulfate, by the way. It's just a kind of ammonium lauryl sulfate is better accepted. Okay, and then the fourth ingredient here is PPG hydroxyethyl cocoa isosteramide. What the heck is that? So it's a non-ionic surfactant that's multifunctional, that serves to build viscosity or thicken. It's anti-static. It builds foam, and it's an alternative to cocamide DEA or cocamide MEA. Okay. So that's, and it's just a slight, has some conditioning value.
And this is Spectrum 1. So this is the rough coat terrier kind
of shampoo? Yeah, this is the rough coat terrier kind of shampoo. Okay. Then it contains panthenol and panthenyl ethyl ether. Now, where I first discovered panthenyl ethyl ether was in Pantene shampoo, because Pantene almost always uses the combination of the two, panthenol and panthenyl ethyl ether, which is a more stable form of the provitamin B. So those are just kind of work together as a moisturizer and bodifier slightly. Polyquaternium 10 is a thickening agent. Sodium benzoate, it's a part of their preservative system. Sodium citrate, it's the same as citric acid. It's just kind of a pH modifier. And then they have the ammonium xenosulfonate hydrotrope. And the rest of the stuff is just preservatives and sodium chloride salt. Okay, so now that's kind of just a very basic, there again, it doesn't have too much goodies in it. It doesn't have a lot of conditioning stuff in it. So it's going to not soften the coat very much. Although I'll tell you, I would probably just go ahead and use the Clean Start. But here's something about Chris Christensen. I've often said that Chris Christensen more imitates human products than most of the other pet shampoo or canine product manufacturers. And it comes from the fact that Chris Christensen himself worked in the human beauty industry before he entered the dog world.
Right, I remember that.
Okay, so that's very important, because what that means is that he has networked with formulators and manufacturers and those folks in the human beauty industry that he then draws into his development of products for the canine industry. So the truth is, his products do more closely reflect human products than canine products.
I just wish he would kick up that dilution rate thing.
Yeah, I know. And that, you know what? That's just a matter of concentration.
I know.
But see, the concentration is a huge factor in the profit margin. Did I spit that out? Profit margin.
You did.
Well, it's a huge factor in the profit, you know, that's why some companies they're going to give you a pretty diluted product, because they just make a whole lot more money that way.
And that's why he'll never fall into my regular routine use of stuff. I mean, if I was just doing a dog for show, that's one thing. But I need something that's beefy enough to handle my recirculator and that's not going to break the bank. I love his formulas. I like his products. And I use a lot of his peripheral products, but his shampoos never make it, except the line that he has that has the high dilution rate.
Yeah.
One of those shampoos I will put in, but they're all kind of the same to me. So that's the only one that's ever made it into my rotation.
Okay. So let me tell you what blew my mind.
Okay.
I mean, so I pulled up my ingredient list, and it's the company, their ingredient list, okay, for Spectrum 10. And I looked at it, and for some reason, sometimes when I try to see where stuff comes from, get deep how it's formulated, I'll Google the first five or six ingredients and see if there's other products that have those. So I found out, I got referred to an interesting article on the Beauty Brains.
No way.
An interesting article on the Beauty Brains, 2008.
Mm.
And it said, what caught my eye, the title is, "What's Really Not True About Your Shampoo?" Okay, so I'm not going to go into the article, but in this article was ingredients taken right from a Pantene shampoo bottle. Are you sensing where I'm going?
Oh, yeah, I sure am.
Would you believe that the exact same 20 ingredients, same 20 ingredients of this earlier model of Pantene are the 20 ingredients in Spectrum 10 shampoo. Now, what's kind of for your information, before there were good show dog shampoos, a lot of show people used Pantene shampoos. Back in the 90s and so forth, a lot of show people used Pantene shampoos. So this is so close.
Wow.
You want to see how close? Look at this. The first four ingredients, ammonium, water, Spectrum 10, ammonium lauryl sulfate, Pantene, ammonium lauryl sulfate. Next, ammonium lauryl sulfate, sodium chloride. Now there's two that are interchanged. 5 and 6, glycol stearate and cocamide MEA, or cocamide MEA and glycol stearate. Number 7 on both products, dimethicone.
Wow.
And it just goes on, and they both contain polyquaternium 10. It's number 8 in the Spectrum 10. It's number 12 in the Pantene. They both contain cetyl alcohol. It's 9 on Spectrum 10. It's 11 on Pantene. They both contain PEG-7M, 12 for the number 12 in Spectrum 10, number 17.
So they've juggled it enough to be a different formula, but they really...
It's the exact same ingredients. There's no different ingredients. It's
just shuffled.
And it's just shuffled a little bit. So what is happening here?
Well,
so what I did is I kind of continued to Google that basic list, and I found several other human shampoos that contain those same ingredients.
Okay.
Infusium, a moisturizing shampoo, contains those ingredients and then more. Of course, the difference between Pantene 2008 and Pantene 2017 is going to be a lot more little ingredients, technical right. improvements, and that kind of thing. They're not going to stay the same for 10 years, believe me. But these same basic ingredients are found in a number of human shampoos. There's two possibilities. They either knocked off the Pantene to get to provide themselves with a product that would get the same results. And be labeled for dogs. And or they knocked off the list of ingredients and right. shuffled them around.
But, you know, meatloaf still has meat and eggs and bread. And I mean, it's still basic formula, right? I mean, is that yeah. such an unusual formula?
No, it's not. This is not a real unusual formula, but it looks like it's a very, but it is a contemporary formula. You know, it's definitely kind of weird to have cetyl alcohol in there, but you know, like you got to trust P&G, Procter & Gamble, who make Pantene. They really, really know what they're doing.
They have quite the research department. You know,
so this is a Spectrum 10 shampoo is made, is marketed. Marketed is the key word here, is marketed for drop coats. What's the biggest difference between the two shampoos is that the Spectrum 10 has more conditioning ingredients in it. It's got a dimethicone, a silicone in it. It's got dimethicone in it. It's got polyquaternium 10, which the other one has. And it does not have that alternative to cocamide DEA. It has cocamide MEA itself in it. Now, that's not a really great difference. The Spectrum 1 shampoo has 16 ingredients. Spectrum 10 has 20. The difference is mostly in conditioning ingredients. Cetyl alcohol, dimethicone, PEG-7M. But wow, that is so similar to that panthenol. That blows my mind.
It makes sense, though, since everybody was using it, and he was looking for a product.
And so, I mean, the reason why everybody used it was because it was very effective on pet hair, you know. And so he just found somebody that could look at the ingredients of panthenol, I think. Someday I'll have a drink with Chris and we'll, you know, hopefully we'll have a drink again someday. And I'll say, you know, like, let's talk about Spectrum 10 and its similarity to the old panthenol lineup. But it looks like somebody took the list of ingredients of panthenol and just used them. But, I mean, not even a single other ingredient. That's mind-blowing. The same 20 ingredients.
You'd think they'd have taken a little fairy dust and thrown it over there.
I don't think anybody would have found that.
I'm impressed that you found it, actually.
I stumbled upon it.
Pretty good.
I stumbled upon it.
Well, and we should mention that Beauty Brains is a podcast and blog that Barbara loves and we promote here on the Groom Pod because it's great, great information.
It's very sound information from cosmetic scientists and themselves. And it just helps you evaluate beauty products. Of course, they go way, way beyond shampoos and conditioners. But so anyway, I do think that I wouldn't use Spectrum 10 on a terrier.
Right. Too many conditioning.
Too many in kitchen. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So cool.
I think you covered it. That was really interesting. I thought, we're just going to go over another ingredient list or two. And bazinga, you threw a curveball in it that really came into the pitcher hard or into the catcher hard. Oh, that was a terrible baseball analogy. Anyway. So if you're looking to pick up some of the newest version of Pantene, you could probably do that on Amazon. Yep. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do that Amazon shopping through our website at www.thegroompod.com. If you scroll down a little bit, there's an Amazon banner. Just click on that banner and do your shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And the Groom Pod gets a couple schmeckles to
a pittance.
Yes, a pittance from your purchase.
A pittance, which adds up.
Yes, it does. And it supports our bandwidth and storage and all of that stuff and Barbara's new headphones. And thanks, you guys, for doing that. And and that's that.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
All right, over to the at the table segment, which is what do you do when you underprice a new client? I have a sneaking suspicion you might have a story to go along with this topic.
Oh, would you now?
Just a guess. Yeah,
I do, and it's the same doodle.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same new doodle customer. So, you know, the new doodle customer calls, and she just wants a clip down, a short clip. And she comes in, and I looked at the dog. The dog was, like, extremely shy. It really took me about 5 or 10 minutes up front talking with the woman and just kind of petting the dog. You know, I love the way I greet new customers because I just literally just slipped right through the gate and sat in the front section and the intake section, sat with the customer and talked to the pet and the customer. And this pet, you know, like she wasn't going to come with me at all. And so it took me about 10 minutes of talking with both of them to kind of put the dog at ease. And then as she left, she said, price is going to be, and she said $100. And I said, I think it's probably going to be $85 because it's a clip down.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking I'm going to use a 5 blade or a 4 on the clipper back. And, you know, it's going to take me 20 minutes.
Yep. Easy peasy.
Well, guess what?
Uh-oh.
It was not so easy. So and I was so lucky that she had told me what was in her mind.
Yeah.
Because I had to get back to her and say, you were right about the price. I undervalued it because the dog was so difficult. She couldn't stand up. She raised her paws, her legs. She didn't want anything done. We had to coax and soothe her through. It took both Yvonne and I handling her. There was no way that I could have done that dog in a humane way. You know, we didn't want to over-restrain her.
Right. That backfires.
She would have had diarrhea. I know she would have had diarrhea. If we, you know, like we did put a flank strap on her, but we didn't put a head thing on her. And we held her head. She liked to put her head in your hand and rest her head like that. And so one of us rested her head and talked to her as the other one tried to dry a section of her body that was wiggling and flopping around. And, you know, it took both of us all the way through the groom.
Wow.
And I said to myself, there's no way I can justify $85 on this dog, and what if it's the same next time, you know? So, you know, you have to make a decision. Do you ask for more money or do you take a bite? and right. let them go. So that's a huge decision.
Because there's a big risk. If you take a bite and you do it for cheap, you instantly become their favorite groomer ever, and they're never leaving. And now you've quoted this price and they think you're the coolest.
And you're stuck there. You know, like they can come in and you can say, I know I quoted 85, but to be honest, this was so much work that I need to ask for 100. Are you all right with that?
So if you got your spidey sense, if you felt what by standing there listening and looking at the person that that was going to be a deal breaker, would you then take the 85 and say next time it will be 100?
Yes. Okay. I would say next time. So yeah. I have been known to do that. If they just can't adjust up, I say, I understand. They'll say, you quoted me. Okay, if they do that, my integrity is okay.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
If it's really bad, would you stop in the middle of the groom and make a phone call?
If it's really off, more than $10, $15 off, yes. Okay. I would call them and not just text. I would call them and say, I've run into something unexpected.
Yes.
You know, this is way worse than I thought. And I also do that. If they ask me to leave length, then I'm going to have to shave them bald.
Yeah, that's a phone call. That's not a text.
That's a phone call. It's not a text. You've got to let them know there's been a change. So if it's just a $10 thing, or in this case, it was $15, and because she had spoken of the $100, what happened is when I texted her that her dog was ready, I said, you were right about the $100.
Well, that was good. That was a good way
you
to
know,
do it.
And so I did it in kind of a friendly way.
Yep.
And she totally understood, and she tipped $20 cash.
Oh, lovely. See there. You know, all the clients really want is communication. They understand, you know, oftentimes, most of the time, I should say, most of the time they understand if things get difficult for us that we have to change our quote or something like that, as long as you let them in on the game, as long as you let them know what's going on. Nobody likes a surprise. Nobody wants to come in and get hit with $35 extra on their dog grooming or something like that. That's no way to run a business. You want to be upfront. You want to communicate. You want to let them know in advance.
Right.
Cool. Okay. Guess what? We just hit an hour.
Hey, I don't believe it.
I know. Well, I just want to say thanks, everybody, for the massive growth we've had. We've just had, we're like 1,300 members on the Groom Pod discussion group now. And wow. Our downloads are over 1,200 every week. Every week. I know it. And some of you guys are binging. So some weeks are even more than that. It's really exciting. It's my dream come true to get to do this with you, Barbara, and to get to do this for our industry. It's so much fun. And I'm so excited to do the webinar. The webinar, it's just the newest way to learn.
All right now. And I'll get that webinar up very soon.
Yeah, get us another flyer, because I think that might have been part of what caused us to have so many new people recently. So thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our journey. And we will see you guys next week on the Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Bye, Barbara.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, @thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.